Good morning. Thank God that we can gather here to worship the Lord and also to listen to His Word. As you know that I'm expounding on the theme, the heroes of faith, based on the teaching of Hebrews chapter 11. And today I'm going to talk about a very familiar person. This person is familiar to many people, especially believers, because of his words and deeds often appeared in the biblical record. His name mentioned frequently in the four Gospels. First of all, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Peter more often than other disciples. And in those encounters, we see his strength and his weaknesses on display. Now, no other disciple so boldly, outspokenly, and repeatedly confessed and encouraged the Lord Jesus as Peter did. And also, no other disciples so consistently interfere with, reproof, and confronted, and try to restrain Jesus as much as Peter did. Therefore, the Lord Jesus had to speak both greater words of praise and blessing and sterner and more direct words of reproof to Peter than any other of the 12 disciples. But the Lord used all those blessings, corrections, reproofs, and experience to build Peter's life, Peter's faith, and to mold him to be a great and godly leader. It is important that Jesus should shape his life if he was going to be fulfill his calling as the influential leader of the early church. So it's very important that the Lord train him. Now, in terms of function and rank, Peter was first in rank among the 12 disciples. This is indicated in Matthew chapter 10, verse 2. I read to you. Here it says, "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter." And then the rest of the disciples' name will follow. His name was mentioned first in the list of the disciples in other Gospels, apart from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts, also listed the 12 disciples. Now, the 12 disciples were equal in their divine commission, authority, and power, and will someday sit on equally throne to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. That's in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, except Judas, replaced by Matthias. However, no group can operate properly without a leader, and Peter helped to provide that for the 12 in the beginning. Now, let's just look a little bit about his background. Peter was a native of Bethsaida, and eventually he moved to Capernaum. At Capernaum, Peter, his father, named Jonas, and his brother, Andrew, carried on their fishing business. How did Jesus transform him to be a faithful leader of the apostles? Well, the four Gospels answer that question by revealing three elements that were foundational in forming Peter and nurturing his faith. Number one is right potential. Number two, right experiences. And the last one is attitude, right attitude. That's very important. So let's just look at these three potentials of how the Lord Jesus Christ mold Peter to be a great leader. Number one, the right potential. Peter had good character and leadership potential, though it was not easy to discern. And the first evidence was in his inquisitive nature. He often asked a lot of questions. If you read the gospel, he always asked a lot of questions. And many of his questions were superficial and sometimes immature, but they show a true concern for the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry. Peter seemed always eager to ask Jesus doctrinal and ministry-related questions. Let me give you some example in this regard. When he did not understand a short parable about ceremonial uncleanness, he asked for an explanation. He wanted to know, and this is found in Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 to 15. I read this to you because this will help you to understand what I said here. Matthew 15, verses 10 to 15. Verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciple and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered, referred to Jesus. Jesus answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father had not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, referred to Jesus, said to Jesus, declare unto us this parable. Please explain, I cannot understand this parable. And so you see, Peter liked to learn. Anything that he could not understand, he will ask questions. And therefore, he asked a lot of questions. Sometimes good questions, sometimes misappointed, sometimes misguided. However, he asked questions. Purpose, want to learn. When concerned about the rewards of discipleship, Peter did not hesitate to ask about them. You see, Jesus. And we know this in Matthew chapter 19, verses 6 to 27. And this is considering the rich young rulers. You remember the rich young rulers when they came to Jesus and say, Master Hart, what can I do in order to be saved? Or enter the kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, you must do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the rich man said, oh, all this I have done. Then the last thing the Lord Jesus said, sell all that you had and then follow me. And he was unable to sell what he had and to follow Jesus. And therefore, he went away sorrowfully. Now, this is the incident. I didn't read the whole passage, but this is the gist of the whole thing. I want you to take note is in Matthew chapter 19, verse 23 to 27. Then Jesus said unto his disciple, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God. And again I say unto thee, unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, unto Jesus, Behold, we have forsaken all. Most of them have forsaken all. You see? And then he asked the Lord Jesus, We have forsaken all and follow thee. What shall we have therefore? You see? He asked for a reward. Jesus often answered Peter's question in a way that he did not expect. And the reason is this. His queries usually miss the point of Jesus' teaching or were self-centered. However immature and misguided his many questions may be, they allowed Jesus to work on building his faith. That's the point. The Lord Jesus used his weakness to mold him up, to train him. Now, Peter also manifests not only the initiative of asking questions, but his initiative, which is another characteristic of a good leadership. A good leader must have initiative. And this is what Peter had. He was often the first to respond to Jesus' question. Jesus asked his disciple, Whom say ye that I am? The passage that we have read this morning. And Jesus was testing his disciple concerning his true identity. Peter was the first one to declare, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, he was also quick to react to see what he saw on the mountain at Transfiguration. And this is found in Mark chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. Mark chapter 9, verse 5 and 6 says, And Peter answered and said to Jesus, In other words, they were on the mountain, suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared. And so Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. All right, that was his suggestion. Whatever comes to his mind, he will ask a question. But the point is this, for what purpose? What for? Why build the three tabernacles? For what reason? There's no reason for doing that. And here, say, the verse says, For he wished not. I mean, he did not know what to say, for they were so afraid. See, sometimes whatever comes to mind, he just say. He was quick to say in this regard. Now, another thing about Peter is that he was quick to protect Jesus, especially in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the religious leader officers came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, what did Peter do? Peter drew his sword and cut off the high priest's servant's ear. So quick. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ had to heal, had to take it up and heal the person. Although his actions were often misguided, Peter was always eager to support the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry. And this is a thing that we know. Finally, Peter was often the center of activities. He stayed close to the Lord Jesus Christ and often wanted to be involved in every event of his ministry. He wanted to take part. He wanted to be active. He wanted to be involved. Even though he denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times, even though he remained close to him, to the Lord Jesus, while all his fellow disciples had all fled. All of them fled away. But Peter still stayed close with the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter and John learned of Jesus' resurrection, John arrived at the tomb first. You know why? Why he arrived first? Because he was a fast runner. Young man can run very fast. So he was first, but he did not have the courage to enter into the tomb. And when Peter came, straight away he entered without any stop. So we see Peter was the first one to enter the tomb. He was the first in many things. So that has to do with his potential. This is important. Secondly, he has a right experience. To train a person, he must have a right experience. The Lord Jesus gave Peter all the necessary experiences of life to nurture his faith and to develop his leadership potential. First of all, concerning the divine revelation. Now we know that at the course of Caesarea Philippi, this is a passage that we have read, the Lord Jesus asked the disciple, "Whom say ye that I am?" When Peter first confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said to him, what did Jesus say? "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, God, which is in heaven." God had revealed this to him. And that is God the Father had revealed to Peter concerning the deity of Christ. When the multitude stopped following the Lord Jesus Christ because of his demanding teaching on discipleship, he asked the 12, the Lord Jesus asked the 12, "Will ye also go away?" "Oh, then departed from me. Will you go?" You know, Peter responded with understanding that he could have, that Peter responded with understanding that could have come only from God. And he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life." Not only he knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God, he knows whatever he says is all from God. God was nurturing Peter and transforming him into an instrument that would one day be useful to deliver the gospel message to the people. That was the way that the Lord Jesus Christ moved him. And true enough, on the day of Pentecost, Peter was used by God to preach the gospel. And we know that many of them came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, Peter wrote two books in the New Testament. The First Peter and Second Peter, all written by him. See, the Lord trained him up. Secondly, Peter also received great honor and reward from the Lord. The passage that we have read just now. Following his confession of Christ as the Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus told Peter, Matthew 16:18, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So Jesus had the key. Peter had the key to open the gospel door. That is, the Lord gave Peter the honor to open the gospel door to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Later on the day of Pentecost, Peter opened the gospel door to the Jews. And many of the Jews came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church of Jerusalem was established. Acts chapter 2. Later on, he went to Samaria. Philip preached the gospel, and then he went there to establish the church there. And he also opened the gospel door to the Gentiles, Acts chapter 10. So the Lord gave him the key, the privilege, the honor to open the gospel door. While Peter received great honor and rewards, he was often the object of great rebuke. He received a lot of scolding from the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes his words contradict the honor Jesus had previously bestowed on him. Let me give you a case in Matthew chapter 16. Peter's words were at times under the influence of Satan, the passage that we have read just now. And I read again to you from verses 21 to 23 to refresh what is going on. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Now, then Peter took him to the Lord Jesus Christ and began to rebuke him. Peter rebuked the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, "Be far away from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." See, that is what Peter did. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, what did he say? What did he say? "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me." It's a rebuke, right? "For thou savest not the things that be of God, but those be of man." Of course, this is also man's idea, you know? Someone, no, don't die. And this is the man's idea, but it's against the will of God. The plan that God wants the Lord Jesus Christ to do. So we see when Peter elevated his own wisdom, he think he was very clever, very smart, understanding. Above the Lord, he ceased to serve God and began to serve Satan in the flesh. God further permit Peter to succumb to Satan's temptation, even to the denying of the Lord Jesus. How did it happen? All right. We know that when the Lord Jesus Christ talked about something, he said Peter protests very strongly against the prediction of Christ that he and other disciples would reject Jesus in the hour prior to his address. Jesus says, when the time comes, all of you will reject me. He said, no. What did Peter say? In Matthew chapter 26, verse 33, Peter said to Jesus, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." The disciples may fall away, but I will not. I will continue to be faithful to you, to follow you to the end. That's what Peter says. Then Matthew 26, verse 35, when Peter stated more precise, specifically that Peter would deny him three times. Later that very night, Peter protested very strongly. All right, verse 35. "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." You see? Verse 35. Now we know that Jesus was right and Peter was wrong. Later, Peter did indeed deny the Lord three times. However, Peter's difficult experience did not disqualify him for the future ministry. He experienced a recommissioning from the Lord, and the Lord did not give up on Peter. He reassured him that he was still an apostle and commanded him to exercise faith and obedience as he has done in the past and to follow him. So, that's the second thing concerning Peter. Thirdly, right attitude. Serving the Lord must have right attitude, and this is very important. And that's the third element in Peter's learning process, was establishing the right attitude. And he acquired six essential attitudes as Jesus continued to teach him principles of godly leadership. All right, this is a lesson to all of us, to you and to me, myself. First of all, submission to authority. Very important, right? Many of us, if you are working in a pay income tax, if you earn to a certain amount, how is the declaration? Is it correct? Or try to find ways, try to escape, or whatever it is. You see? So it's related to all of us. Here, the Lord Jesus knew that Peter needed to learn submission to higher authority. So on one occasion, Jesus set an example for Peter to learn about submission to authority. And this is found in Matthew chapter 17, verse 24 to 27. Matthew 17, 24 to 27, I read to you. Here it says, "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute," that means tax, "money came to Peter and said, 'Do your master pay tribute?'" Means pays the temple tax. He said, "Yes." And when he was to come to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? And of whom the children or the stranger?" Peter said unto him, "Of stranger." Jesus said unto him, "Then are the children free?" That means the Lord Jesus Christ actually do not need to pay. You see, he's the Lord of the temple. "Not with understanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish. And the first fish come up, and when thou open his mouth, thou shalt find" what? "A piece of money," a loony or whatever it is. "Take and give unto them for me and for thee." Jesus performed this miracle to show Peter that they have to abide and to submit to authority. And Jesus did it to teach Peter a lesson. Now, later, Peter was able to teach members of the early church the lesson he had learned from experience. No, he learned from that time, but you are able to practice and to teach others also. How do we know? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 15 and 17 tells us that. All right, I read to you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to 15 says, "Submit yourself to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or supreme, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, or for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of the foolish men." Verse 17, "Honor all men, love brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." So he learned a lesson and he taught the disciple, the people, about submission to the authority. Secondly, Peter also need to learn about attitude of restraint. Sometimes you need a lot of power to restrain, you know. And the best illustration of this is the incident in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember? When the officer came to arrest Jesus, what did Peter do? Without any thought, he drew his sword, cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Very fast. And Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into your shield. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father had given me?" See, this is God's will. God wanted him to suffer, to die on the cross. And Peter tried to defend him. Wrong. Wrong action. Out of a good heart. You see, but it's wrong. And Jesus ordered him to put down his sword and believe that God was working out his plan for him. Because Jesus knew that this was God's plan, that he would be arrested, he'll be nailed on the cross. Another very important attitude Peter came to learn. You know what was that? Humility. Humility. As we have seen, Peter boasted that he would not forsake Jesus. Even others would. Later on, we know that he denied the Lord 3 times. He had learned his lesson of humility well. Years later, he proved to be a different person when he wrote his letter telling us 1 Peter 5:5. You know what he says? He told the believers, "Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the almighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Verse 6. He learned from that incident. The fourth attitude that Peter had learned was what? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. We know that at the end of Jesus' threefold reinstatement of Peter in John chapter 21, Jesus said to Peter about his sacrifice. He revealed to him how he would die. And he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself." I read in the ESV version. See, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you want. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. See? Verse 19 of John 21 says, "This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God." After saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." This was the word that Jesus said to Peter. "You will stretch out your hand." This was a prophecy. A prediction that Peter would die by crucifixion. Tradition tells us that when Peter was brought to be crucified, he chose to be crucified downwards. That means upside down, head down, feeling unworthy to die as the Lord Jesus did, according to tradition. Number 5, Peter had to learn how to follow the Lord. When Peter heard that kind of things, he expressed his concern. For who? For the Apostle John. How about John? Okay, I'll be dying that way, but how about John? He was concerned for him. And he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man? verse 21 and 21, chapter 21, verse 21. And Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." In other words, Christ said to Peter, if it is my will, my plan for John to live until the second coming of Christ, that was God's will for him. It was none of your business. Had nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. His responsibility was to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus wanted him to do. Don't think of other people, what he will do, what he will suffer yourself. That's what Jesus wanted him to learn. Later, he wrote to exhort the Christians to follow the Lord. Later on, he exhorted the Christian to follow the Lord. You see, all these lessons he learned from life. And in his letter, he taught the believers. Where is it? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. I think we turn to that. I read a lot, really. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 13 and 14, ready, go. Right, and there's one more verse, verse 19. Verse 19, please. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit their keeping of the soul to him well doing, unto a faithful creator. He was teaching the members to do so. If God wants you to suffer, it was his will. Submit yourself, follow. Finally, Peter need to adopt an attitude of courage. God's doing the work of evangelism, he needs a lot of courage. Do you know that? First time you go to the door and door, house to house, knocking the door, giving out tracts, how do you feel? Feel nervous, right? You do not know what will happen. You knock the door, whether the people will shout at you, will scold at you, or whatever it is. There is a fear. Do you have that? When I first tried, I had that fear. You see. So here, Peter needs to learn courage. How did the Lord Jesus Christ teach Peter courage? Peter learned this lesson of courage from his attempt to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in walking on the stormy sea of Galilee, walking on the water. You remember one day when Lord John, the disciples saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming, they were in a boat, and what happened? Peter was the one to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to walk on the water. But we know that because of fear, he sank. And Peter learn the important lessons of faith, little lesson of faith. That is found in Matthew chapter 14, 25 to 32. Thereafter, Peter was no longer that fearful when he stood boldly and confidently before the ruling Jewish council in Acts chapter 9, verse 10 and 11. The Jewish council. He was preaching the gospel and many of them came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Thousands of them came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Jews were concerned. Wanted to stop them from preaching the gospel. And what did Peter say? Well, Peter said these words unto the people, unto the council. And he said that whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken you more than unto God, is it right? Judge ye. Whom shall I obey, you or God? That's the way that Peter put forth. The council said, you should not preach. But God say, go into the world and preach the gospel. Whom shall you listen? Man or God? He asked them. He spoke boldly to them. And this is found in Acts chapter 4, verse 19. And then in verse 20 he say, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. None can really stop him from doing the work of witnessing. Now at the prayer meeting that followed, his faith was strengthened as he and other disciples asked for boldness. They know that more persecution will come. Ask for boldness, that they may speak the word of God. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And the place that were they gathered together was shaken and were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. So in the end, all of them have the courage to speak the word of God. Years later, he wrote what he had learned about submission, humility, sacrifice, love, courage in his epistles. There he also exhorts us to add to our faith with godly attitude and character so that we will trust God in any situation, obey his will, and glorify his name. Right, these are all in his letter. The lesson that we learn today is this. God is going to mold each one of us the way he wants you to be. The question is this. Will you subject to the Lord and allow him to mold you what he wants you to be? Not all of us will be like Peter doing the same kind of job. God put different person to different places, to different kind of careers for a purpose. But one thing is clear. He put us there for a purpose, to do his work, to glorify him. But will you allow God to mold you the way he wants you to be? So may God help each one of us to learn from Peter, willing to submit and allow God to mold him.